I want to see some cars lit on fire. I want to see some people, you know, lose their teeth. Yeah, you got to fucking learn what real homoerotica is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You better learn quick, otherwise you're going to be a victim of it.
Tell him, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell Him, Steve Dave. I'm here with BQ.
Hey, Stankin.
And BQ, you may not know this, but we're also sitting here with the 1980 John Birch Award for science.
Oh.
Walt Flanagan.
Wow. Bird.
Oh, John Bird? I thought it was John Birch. Bird. The John Birch Society.
B-Y-R-D.
B-Y-R-D, huh?
Yeah.
How do you win such a prestigious award?
I guess you just have to be, you know, scientific.
It's not like a project or a school fair or something?
No, just overall interest in science.
Did you have that?
No. Yeah, I don't know why I was given that award. It was $10, I think.
That ain't bad.
Yeah.
In 1970s money?
Yeah, 1979, I think it was.
And you got a little statue too, right?
No statue. It was like
just
a little
$10.
It was like a little letter, and then in the letter was $10.
Mm.
Yeah.
I got robbed once at a science fair.
Really?
Yeah, I made the volcano. And I made a great volcano. And fucking Alan Leychuk won the science fair because he painted a bunch of nails and showed how rust doesn't affect painted nails.
Painted metal.
He just had unpainted nails that he put in water and they got rusty. And then he painted a bunch of nails, put them in water. They didn't get rusty. And he taped them to a fucking board and explained about oxidization and he won the whole goddamn thing.
As an award-winning Clarence B. Bird Award winner, I do think everybody does the volcano.
Nobody else did the volcano.
It's the pedestrian of science.
No,
it's
good volcano. Move, I had
man.
The chicken wire.
You're talking to an award winner, man.
I had the chicken wire with the fucking.
Yeah, but everybody expects to see it.
But everybody, there's a reason why everybody expects to see it because it's awesome. I have little palm trees. Like really brightens up the. You took painted nails. It took him two fucking seconds to do that.
Oxidization.
Oh, Alan, I know you're out there. You robbed me, son.
I really want to specify, Walt, you're right. It is John Bird because John Birch, who I'd heard of, is an American right-wing political advocacy group. So that's not
– Well, actually, 1970s
– 10 bucks.
1970-something right-wing is like left-wing these days.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I won an art competition in second grade.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you draw?
It was a space-type vehicle, like a tank. And the only reason I won was because I actually completed all the required things to write on the back of the piece of art.
Okay. You followed every rule to the T.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And no one else did. And that's the only reason I won.
What'd you win?
Stickers.
Stickers. Yeah. Okay.
Stickers, huh?
Not as exciting
as
$10.
Like, yeah. That's what they give people to like keep them quiet, like stickers.
I think I got that wrong. I think I said 1970s right wing is left wing these days. It's right. Not. 1970s right wing is like considered Nazi these days. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I got.
What you got.
Okay, now I got it.
Now you got it. Walt, sports fans, what the fuck?
What?
The Knicks lose a game and people are accosted in the streets having their jerseys torn off. I saw this video where like they were at some park, these Knicks fans that are like upset that the Knicks lost a game. Not the series, though, right? Just the game.
Just the game.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sal was at that game.
And oh, was he?
I think he was the one tearing shirts.
How did he get into the game? Did he have to buy a ticket, or was he given a comp?
Well, once you sell out Madison Square Garden, Walt, they give you a special phone number you could just call.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got the silver ticket too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they were claiming that it may have been the most costly ticket to any sporting event in world history.
Oh, the tickets were going for like $200,000 per seat.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's why when
Sal told me he went, I was like, how the fuck did you go? He goes, no, I just called. I go, you just call. Apparently, Sal goes to Knicks games during the year, so they're used to getting that call from him. I think if I called out of nowhere asking my first Knicks tickets, they'd be like, how about we get you tickets to Lionel Richie next month? But I think because Sal goes, like, they hooked him up. But he wasn't, like, sitting courtside or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was stunned when I heard that this would be the most highest, costliest ticket in sports world history.
What reasoning did they give? Like, more than a Super Bowl?
I will tell you. I'll tell you something. Knicks fever has gotten New York City in its contagious grip, like it's nothing I've ever seen.
Like COVID?
Like,
yeah, that's why you got to give a pass to those people who attacked that Spurs fan. They had Knicks fever.
Yeah, they had Knicks fever, bro.
Bro, chill out.
They should have been attending. So really, I should be feeling sorry for them. Yeah.
Really, you should just be
oh my God, this guy's bleeding?
Contributing to their GoFundMe so they can get treatment.
I mean, this poor guy. Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. That guy's bleeding.
Now,
you know, you can't wear the opposing team's jersey.
You
can't do it.
I've worn a Yankee jersey in Boston.
Yeah, you got a fucking security detail.
No, this was before. And, like, I was prepared for what I got, which is, like, you know, good-natured harassment. Right. Yeah, nobody's putting hands on me.
Right.
People were, like, screaming at me. People were, like, booing me. People were calling my mother names. But, like, I expected all that. Start laying hands on people.
Like, the guy's bleeding from his nose. He looks dazed.
It's the finals, though.
He looks dazed.
It's the finals, though. It's the most, like, again, like, the fever is at an all-time high.
The fever's insane.
Yeah.
I've been watching the games, and I never really
It's worse than Ebola.
Games. It is.
People are bleeding out of their asses.
Yeah, from other people fucking beating them down with sticks.
They're bleeding internally.
Like, these are savages. They're fucking attacking this guy.
Yeah, this is the same guy from the first one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is crazy. There's a bunch of people just punching his face hard.
It's crazy. What's going on? I've never seen what's going on in New York. Oh, Yankees winning. I remember the 90s Yankees win. The series, the city would go nuts. I've never seen anything like this. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's like when I said they were in this park and like these people were like, hey, let's tear this sign down. And this other guy stepped in. He's like, hey, man, this is our city. Like, let's not tear apart our city. It's like they lost. So what?
But
like, let's not destroy everything.
Let's not act like Philly
fans. They just converged on him.
But you know what? I tell you what, though. I have seen my team, the Devils, win 3 championships in my lifetime. And I got to say, you know, the kind of lackluster response from the community kind of bummed me out. I mean, I wanted to see, like, you know, I wanted to see New Jersey burn.
Started wailing on Sunday,
you know,
Sunday,
I wanted
Jeff.
To see some, I wanted to see some cars lit on fire. I wanted to see some people, you know, lose their teeth. And,
you were willing to do any of it yourself.
Yeah. I want to see some fucking, some intensity.
Some passion.
That's why, where was the Devil's fever?
You're not going to get because Manhattan, you have to remember, Manhattan is only like 4 miles wide and like 8 miles long. Like, it's not a big island and you have millions of people on that island. So it's more of a pressure cooker situation.
I think you're being kind, though. I think even if the Devils win in post-2026, I still don't think you would see this kind of
passion. I don't think it's possible. I don't think there's enough people in one area to create this sort of thing.
What are you talking about? Like, when you get in Newark, you know, I still don't think –
What's the population of Newark?
Yeah, there are huge hockey fans over there in Newark.
But yeah, it's like – I just don't think – even if the Devils win, I know I'm not going to see any cities burn for it. It's kind of like a bummer because all these other cities across the country, you know, like they know how to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Like you can understand like when they were.
That's sarcasm, people.
Yeah, I got you.
Just for those, because a lot of TSD listeners, some of them don't appreciate sarcasm.
Oh, no. I think those people don't want to understand sarcasm. So they're like, that's not a joke. That's got to be real. We're doing a podcast. It's got to be real. Fucking assholes. I'm so sick of it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got to admit, I thought the sports gods might take some retribution the Knicks might pay for their the way they're how horribly the beta, their the fans
greatest
behaved.
Comeback and
yeah, I was wrong. The sports gods are like, we want more fucking mindless violence.
Well, they made a blood sacrifice, I guess, in a way, yeah, to the gods.
Yeah, that collapse last night by the Spurs was.
It was wild to watch. Yeah.
It was history making, the collapse that they had last night.
It was fun watching the fans like go from completely dead to like fucking up and screaming.
And man, awesome. There's a lot of celebrities who like the Knicks.
Yeah, they kept focusing on like Larry
Seinfeld
David.
Seinfeld was there. Larry David was there. Ben Stiller was there.
A lot of times Howard Stern is there.
Ben Stiller always goes and Spike Lee always goes.
No, Spike Lee's always there. Spike Lee's been going since the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So they should have a seat at every game.
Yeah. Michael,
he's like an unofficial Nick almost at this point, right?
Yeah.
Michael Che was blaming Colin Jost for the loss the other day.
Because he was there?
Yeah, he was there courtside.
Yeah, Sal was there. They lost, and then it took 2 hours to get out because of the Trump stuff. To get out of Madison Square Garden, he says, took 2 hours.
Because of the Trump stuff? What was that?
Because they were just stopping
the security
traffic.
Detail, Trump was at the game. To get Trump out of the
– So they locked down all the blocks around the game.
Gotcha.
And you could only move in segments.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think that like
after
Trump
a loss
shouldn't go because knowing what kind of inconvenience he's going to put on the city and on the fans, like him going is just such
I don't
a
think
pain
he should have
went.
Just watch it at home.
Yeah, just watch it in the White House. Watch it in the fucking White House.
Right. I imagine they got a big screen there, at least one. Right?
Yeah. They got a movie theater there.
I'm fucking sarcasm, asshole.
Sorry. Oh,
God. Jesus.
Case example.
Oh my God.
Actually, they have a movie.
Technically.
Fox. It's important I tell a podcast, Fox.
Oh, get him. But I get it. Like I get why people are exciting. It's they've been crazy, crazy fun games, you know?
Yeah. And they haven't won since 73, I think.
Yeah. This is going to make me become a Brooklyn Nets fan, though.
Why? Because I got the polar opposite. You don't want to be a Knicks fan because you don't want to jump on the bandwagon?
Yeah, I don't really want to jump on the bandwagon.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're no Ming Chen.
No. Yeah, but you know me, I'm also a whore. All the Knicks have to do is be like, you want to come sit courtside?
$200,000 ticket.
It's a merch. It's a merch. No, $200,000 ticket. Regular game. I'd be like, get me a Knicks hat.
If they invited you, you know, like, hey, Sal's coming. Why don't you come too?
Yeah.
What would it take for you to wear a Spurs jersey?
You can't do that.
Can't do it. When you're invited, you can't do it.
Yeah.
I think even
New York City likes the Impractical Jokers. I don't want to.
Like in the middle of it, you peel it off and there's a Knicks jersey underneath.
It's a punishment.
You can get away with that, I think. Like if you deal with like the few minutes of booing and
you're doing like a heel turn.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And
before you can rip your Spurs jersey off, you're fucking swarmed like you ever see a lizard swarmed by ants like in the jungle? You're like, hold on, let me check my.
You're gonna love this.
It's me.
We know.
Yeah. It would be a good punishment.
Yeah. That would be tough.
That would be tough. Yeah. That'd be a tough one.
You would have to do it in a place that isn't known, like not in Philly or not in Boston where you know people are known for beating other people.
I mean, New York, honestly, like all my years going to Yankee Stadium and stuff like that, I saw a lot of verbal things back and forth, but so rarely did you see people
swinging
over that. So it's like I'm actually surprised, but I shouldn't be surprised in this day and age that's what it devolved into. And then it's like there's two levels because you're like, why are you beating the fucking guy up? He's probably born in Texas. What are you fucking bothering this kid for? But then there's another level. I'm like, you fucking morons are filming this?
Right.
Like, you fucking idiots. Like, what the fuck's the matter with you guys? I hope some people get in trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But go Knicks. I'm excited. I'm happy for them. That Brunson guy is awesome, man.
I watched it, like, but with one eye on the TV.
Yeah.
And then I really only became, like, invested watching it towards, like, the last minute because I was like, oh, my God, they're going to fucking blow this.
It was nuts how they didn't blow it.
Yeah.
But his intent, I like the way he just stares at, like, some guy will scream in his face and curse at him, and he'll just stare at him. I like that sort of gunslinger fucking Old West mentality. Like, I let my leather do the talking. In this case, I let my basketball do the talking. I love it. It's fun.
Mm. I'm in a...
I got next fever!
I know, you can tell. I can tell. I'm down with a case of it. I've been watching a little bit of basketball, but just in very short snippets. WNBA, as a matter of fact. This girl, Sophie Cunningham, are you familiar with her?
No.
She's the best. She, like, she's really good. And on top of it, she loves to scrap with people. She likes to defend her teammates, so she's always fighting with people. She has, like, a broken tooth and shit. It's pretty fun to watch. Because they're rough, man. They go after each other constantly. WNBA really? Players, yeah. It's really, they're
and
like.
And they don't police it?
They do, but I mean, they just, it doesn't stop them. It just seems like every highlight I see, there's somebody like with a fucking super angry face on going after somebody else.
They're trying to get people to watch the game, I guess.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, they think that aspect is what's going to win people over. Like the, because an NHL has tried to eradicate that from the game. They, you know, they've taken fighting out of the sport, I think, to the detriment of the fans. I think the fans want to see that, obviously. And I understand why they got to do it, because you can't be like, we care about player safety. And then fucking be like, but we love to see you fucking somebody pound the shit out of somebody with their fucking bare fist on their skull. Right. And then be like, you
jersey
know,
pulled up over their head.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to then like, say that you care about player safety there if you is. Allow fighting.
Oh. Q, you're going to like her. It doesn't help that she's blonde and super hot.
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah, see, they're constantly, she's so constantly mixing it up. What's that?
What team is she?
I can't remember which, Connecticut something or other, I believe. I can't remember what team she's on.
Yeah. I went, did I tell you?
That's irrelevant to me.
I went to that, the Kansas City Current game, female soccer game. Did I tell you that?
No.
When I was there, it was fucking great. Are we getting into female sports, dude? Is this
it's
it?
It's possible.
Is this our new frontier?
what made it great?
It was just fun. Like, they play, you know, the good players. It was like soccer games always kind of fun.
How many goals were scored?
Oh, I don't remember.
More than one?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Could have been zero.
It was an open bar in the owner's box, so I saw it after a while. I
love it.
Yeah, I was like, this is fucking great. I got current fever.
And the baseball game was on at the bar, too, so I was able to... I love women's soccer. The Yankees were on.
I know we've been talking about doing cons, possibly doing a Gramercy show. What I do have to say is, no matter what, I don't care if Walt wins the lottery, he cannot stop door dashing. People are loving these stories.
Really?
I have some stories.
They're loving
too.
The stories, man.
Nice.
I have a couple.
Oh yeah.
And we're like, I do want to be fair, you know, in my discussion of this this profession, because last week I told some stories where the customer was I thought in the wrong. And I have a couple instances where there's no doubt about it. I was in the wrong.
Do we need like a name for this segment and like a bumper? Like where Fat News, like Dash Diaries.
We'll talk to Jay Sarge. Yeah, I'll talk to Jay Sarge.
Dash Diaries.
Dash Forest Dash.
Got a title for this week.
So I was dashing. One was with my daughter. One was with my wife. And the first one was I had to go into like this. It's not a chain restaurant, but it's a place that sells like chicken, a lot of chicken products and everything. And when I walked in, it wasn't ready yet. So the lady was like, "It's not ready yet. You know, it'll be a few minutes."
Politely, I'm sure.
No, not that polite, but that's okay. You know, it's fine. I didn't care. So I start to go on my phone. I'm at the counter and I'm kind of leaning on the counter. I'm looking at my mail, you know, just surfing the net, just waiting. And some guy comes in and he walks up to the counter and I'm kind of like right next to me. And he goes, and so she goes, "What can I do for you?" He goes, "I'm here to pick up my order, sexy." he calls her sexy.
And what does this lady look like?
Well, that's part
that's
of the
part
story.
Of it.
Yeah. So when he said that, I immediately was like, I can't. I looked up from my phone and looked at him first.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, you know, you don't hear that in today's world.
Really.
I looked at him and I said that in my head, I'm like, well, I just talked to this lady. And I saw what I said. Let me remind me. So I looked back to her to see if it was, if the phrase in my mind, kind of like
the label implied.
I look back at her, and you know how a dog kind of like cocks his head, and then I cock my head. I look back at the guy, and again, I'm not like I didn't have like I don't think I had a face on. But then I look back at her. When I look back at her again, she was giving me a fucking stink eye. Like she knew that I was perplexed by this.
What, you think I'm not sexy?
Yes. So she was. I felt so horrible because she was looking at me like she knew what I was thinking.
Right.
I felt like okay. like an inch high because I was like.
You don't
like,
have to describe her.
And I was like this guy has just deemed the word sexy like now forever.
It means nothing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And she goes, "Are you here? Are you door dashing here, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "You can't stand here. This is for customers." I was like, "All right." So I just moved over and she goes,
"Am I not a customer?"
And I move over a little bit. I was like, "All right." And she goes, "You can't stand here either. That's where I'm going to ring people up."
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, I wanted to pop the balloon a little tent. I was going to be like, "Wow, you are really sexy when you get angry." But I knew that wouldn't fly. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to wait outside and I'll come in a little bit and see if the order's ready. I felt horrible because I knew that she was offended by my – just by me looking.
Being perplexed.
Your clear shock that anybody would consider sexually attractive.
It was bad. I really felt like – there was, and there was no way I could recover.
Yeah.
Like I didn't say a word.
Her either.
But yet just my head kind of looking kind of like said a million things out loud and that she was not – and I get it. You're like, I mean, who am I to fucking look at somebody and be like – you know, you're not sexy. Why is he calling you? Like, that's awful.
Well,
come on.
I know, but I should have like had a little bit more self-control and just kept my head looking at the phone, you know?
Well, you weren't looking at her at first because it's like, what, are you fucking serious, bro? Her? You're
all I did was kind of look
sexy
up.
Thing.
Yeah. I kind of just looked up like, then I looked over at her and I was like, and I looked back at him and I looked at her and I was like, by that time I looked again, she was kind of staring at me. Like,
something to say?
Well, did it get him better service?
What?
Did it get him better service?
Well, he was treated much nicer than I was.
Well, maybe in the future.
That's what you should have said. Like, hey, sexy, order almost ready? Or
like, can you even say that to like somebody? Could you say that? No. I don't think I could ever walk in and use that kind of like language with anybody.
If you know someone.
If you know, but yeah, but like if you're complete strangers, though.
Nah, I would be hard pressed to.
Right.
It just feels, but it's not even because of
some guys can pull it off.
What we just went through this recent fucking decade.
Oh, you're talking to one of them.
I think my entire life, like I don't think I would ever walk up to a girl.
This guy can do it.
No, I don't think I've ever.
You cross over that bridge, everybody's sweetheart, everybody's honey.
Oh, well, sweetheart, I do call people. That is true. But I've tried to break myself of it, but it's just too.
And it's Staten Island.
It's Staten Island, and I've actually had like I have been like, oh, thanks, sweetheart. And I'll be like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to call you sweetheart. And I've had multiple be like, oh, okay, I liked it.
Right.
So it's fine. But it is a little old school.
Yeah. It's old school Italian. What the hell?
What are you going to do? What's up, sweetheart?
You've been going to the same pizza place for, is it safe to say, years?
Oh, my God. Over 20 years.
So you know this, you know all the people in there.
Yeah.
So would you be like, hey, handsome, what's up?
Handsome or sexy? No.
Okay.
No,
more likely to say handsome. It's less offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But even if you say handsome, it's really strange.
Right.
Like, I actually do call a lot of people handsome.
Yeah. Q calls me handsome all the time. Yeah.
I do.
Like strangers? When you're taking your order, like you've got a male waiter, you're going to call him.
No, not like that. But I'll go a lot. See, like Alba, one of my camera operators, I'll be like, what's up, handsome? How you doing today?
A little bit more understandable. You know the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think going in cold and not knowing the person, I think it's off-putting.
Okay.
And it's off-putting for me. Like I would not be able to recover, especially if I got a bad reaction to it.
I think they hate you now.
I couldn't recover. I would just be like,
just throw up.
I was just trying to be friendly.
They told me it would work. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that guy has been into that place as long as you've been into.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. It very well could. I wouldn't bet the farm that it probably was just the way he rolls.
Mm.
That, like he just rolls and he just. This is a very friendly, very.
Older guy or younger guy?
Younger than me, but I wouldn't call him
young. Right.
Yeah. Mm. And my other story was, again, I felt terrible because the guy was such a nice guy. It was me and my daughters, like after midnight, we're delivering alcohol. and she stayed in the car with Ted. And I'm trying to find this apartment, and I finally find it, and I knock at a door. A guy comes out, and I cannot get – because when you have to scan his license and you have to have him sign your phone when you deliver alcohol, and I could not get the fucking pages to load. I guess it was bad internet or whatever. And Alicia knows how to, like, I don't know, close out apps and close out pages. I don't know how to fucking do it. She just does shit with her fingers, and like, she's like, there's things on the phone that I'm like, I don't know how the fuck you did that. Like, it's like almost like David Copperfield's in the car with me making my phone do shit that I didn't realize it could ever do.
It's a pinball wizard over there. Yeah.
So I tell the guy, and he's like, you know, he's got his porch light on, and the door open. And I'm telling him, and he's like, it's not working. And I was like, no. And we're just sitting there over and over again. It will not load. And finally, I'm like, and I asked you a favor. I said, can I just go run to my car? I said, this is my daughter. I just lied. I said, my daughter is Dash. I said, and I just wanted to come up to the door because it's midnight and, you know, it's alcohol. I just wanted to do it. And this really paid him be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. He goes, like, she's in the car. She can make this phone work. So I go back to the car. She finally gets it to fucking load. I go back and he goes to sign it. And as he's signing it, we both feel this thing go by our face and like big. And you just feel like something hit us. And we look in his house. There's like a moth has just flown into his house that is the size of a fucking baseball mitt.
Jesus.
It's like a moth that should not be on this continent. It should only be on the like in the Amazon rainforest.
Like an escape from a lab.
And he just looking at it like
– it's two women and a clam like just singing nearby.
I've seen this movie.
And he just looks at it kind of like defeated. He's like, oh, fuck. Like he's got this big moth in his house now. And I'm just like – I still can't get it to work. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I said, I'll figure it out. I said, I just didn't want to get the fuck out of here because now he has to fucking get this massive moth out of his house only because I was there for like a half hour trying to get him to sign my phone. He had to deal now with fucking Mothra in his fucking – living room, which would have fucking put me off, man. I would have been so fucking annoyed.
Right. Somebody leaves. Yeah. Now you got to call Get the moth out of the house.
Yeah. But those are my two stories. Otherwise, yeah. It was uneventful.
How many runs did you make out of all them? Like, are you like getting up there now?
What do you mean?
Like, because when I order DoorDash, it's like 14,000 like runs or dashes or whatever. It's like the numbers are crazy.
What do you mean? You get to look at what your driver's history is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? They give those stats?
Yeah.
Like almost like an athlete stats?
I got to know how many stars you got. I got to know what kind of car you're driving.
I didn't realize that was like
– I know your name.
Yes, I know
everything
that.
About you.
That really off-puts me when people like – especially with alcohol – say my name as I'm coming up the driveway. They're like, hey, Walt. And I'm like, oh, I must know this person or they know me. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's the case. They just have my name because of the –
Maybe change your name to Sexy.
I can't change my name now. I'm encroaching on 300 deliveries.
Nice.
Probably get that by next week.
That's no joke.
No.
That's a lot.
Jesus
now, can you like scan your own ID if the person doesn't have ID?
I have thought of that when shit has gone fucking like where I'm like, oh motherfucker, why won't this work? Just
like
you know,
they're not 21.
Yeah, leave and get a reception somewhere else and scan my own. But I have a feeling since my license was already in the system and is in my account, they would flag it as like you're just scanning your own license.
Want to borrow mine? Because
I'm gonna drive all the way here to get your license.
No, I'll send you a picture.
It won't work. Okay. You got to scan the actual thing, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what? That's not true. I scanned someone's phone off their license off their phone. So, yeah, maybe.
All right. I'll send it to you later.
All right.
People believe I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, they wouldn't be surprised at all. Alcohol is buying.
He's down this week.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Giant silk
flying
moth.
Eyeballs. Giant silk moth living in New Jersey.
And that nasty feeling of like, and you couldn't stop. I couldn't stop
like
touching
fuzzy.
My face
because
it hit the side of my face. And the whole time I'm like, oh my God, am I going to break out in a rash? Because I felt it hit me and then it fucking hit the ground.
And they have that powder on their wings too.
You can hear it hit the ground, like hit the fucking his floor. It was like.
Like a body hitting the floor.
Like when you know when you got to squish it, it's going to leave a fucking massive fucking carcass right. trail of blood.
There's no easy way of getting rid of this mouth
now. You know.
Poor guy. He didn't leave you a bad review, did he?
No. He was a super nice guy, patient, young guy too.
Mm. Yeah, it would be like, I have to say, if I'm buying alcohol at midnight, it means I want to keep drinking. I've been drinking, and I want to mm-hmm. keep drinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like a half hour at the door, I don't know that I'd be like, especially when I'm there was so much alcohol.
I assumed, like, I told Leisha, we must be going to a kegger. I'm going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he ordered so much alcohol. I was surprised when I got there, and it was just this one guy.
Hmm. Do a lot of people order alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Those would get you the most money, though.
Oh, alcohol. Those are the guys that tip the best?
Yeah, they tip the best alcohol.
Well, yeah, you've already started. You don't want a chance at DUI. So yeah, you just order it in. Mm. Makes and you know, that you can is, you know, good.
Yeah, I see a lot of videos on HBO on YouTube where they don't make that decision. they drink and then they're like, I'm gonna go get more.
Yeah.
There was one guy he out in Mattawan. I deliver even Deb when I got to the car. She said, "Weren't you supposed to get more than this? It was just a can." The guy just gave me a can in the store, the liquor store,
mm-hmm.
And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I thought when I looked at it before you walked in the store, it looked like there was like six things. I was like, I don't know. He just gave me this. And then Alicia was like, yeah, your part of your job is to make sure that you're getting what is on the phone. To me, I'm like, they gave it to me. This got to be it. Right. You know, I'm not like
I can't tell you the number of fucking shit fits I've thrown at home. I'm like, are these people fucking retarded? Yeah. Why can't they fucking look in the bag and make sure everything is there?
Because
it's happened so many times.
I'm like, hey, it's not my fucking bitch. It's like the fucking
it really
guy,
isn't your job.
The guy
really
at the fucking
job.
Liquor store gave me this. This is, I sold the name I'm here for. He gives me one can.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Deb was like, well, maybe – then she questioned herself. She's like, well, maybe – I guess it's right because they wouldn't have given you just one can. So I wind up getting there and guy comes to the door. He has a cast on his leg and he's like hobbling around. And I go, I need to see your license. He signs it. I give him the can and he goes, where's the rest of it?
Oh.
No. With attitude. Where's the rest of it? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, this is all you have? I was like, that's all they gave me. And he goes, what? He goes, it was like over $100 in order, he goes. And I was like.
It's $100 a can, sir. I got to go.
I was just like, I fucking went into, like, I was the fucking, you know, like, I was like Martha Ray. Like, I started going like, you know what I said? That fucking idiot at the liquor store, he looked like he was fucking stoned or something. I said, let's call him up right now. I said, because I'm with you. I said, like, yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't be
paying. I'm your man.
I'll get on the phone with you and I'll be like, hey, this is what you gave me. Why the fuck did you fuck this guy up? You got to give him a refund.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right. So he places the call. And I'm in the hallway, and he places the call, and then my phone rings. And I go, hello?
He goes, oh, no, you're like echoing.
And then the guy in the car goes, yeah, I was supposed to order. I go, oh, yeah, you're just calling me, I said.
And he goes, oh, God.
And he calls the liquor store, and then no one picks up in the liquor store. And I'm like, you know what? I said, total start bullshitting. You know what? I'm going to go outside right now. I said, I'm going to call DoorDash. I'm going to file a claim. Like I said, I'm going to get your money back right now. Mm-hmm. I get out to the car. I was like, hold up, let's just go to store today. Like, I'm not taking care of this. Like, I already got the money. I go, fuck it. I go, it's up to this guy now to fucking handle it. I go, I don't know what else I can do here. And I just left. But I fed the guy a whole line of bullshit. I was like, I'm going to make sure. Yeah, this is ridiculous. He goes, I'm going to – anything you need from me, I was like, I'm your guy. I'll make sure you get your money back.
Right. And I have faith in you.
By the time I left, he was like, thanks, bro. He gave me a fist bump.
Oh, God.
Later, sexy.
I told Jeff, you were right. I was like, I got to start checking to make sure that they're giving me the right shit because that was a total fuck up.
Yeah.
But in my defense, though, that's what they gave me, though. You know, he gave me one can.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucked up. People ordered these little, like, little bottles. Like,
shooters.
Like little fucking midget bottles of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like 12 of them in a bag.
Is that so, like, each person can have their own, or, like, why would you order it in that way?
I think it makes you feel less like you're drinking a lot than if you're just doing a little shooter. Or if you want to pace yourself.
The amount of people who order these little tiny bottles of alcohol, yeah. I'm just like, what is the point
like,
of
I'm
this?
Like, I'm only going to have six of these.
Yeah.
Instead of the bottle where like, I can have this little, you know, this much more. I understand it.
It's all a mind fuck then. Like, you're just fooling yourself.
No. You're trying to enforce moderation. So okay. It's like – that's like people said
you've
like –
got no willpower, so you got to fucking spend
people
more.
Like, why do you go every night and buy, you know, three cans of beer? And it's like, well, if I get more, I'm incentivized. You know, there's that you know what? Maybe I'll have four tonight. But if I only have three, that's all I can have.
I think I was thinking –
because when you hit that third one, you're not making the best decisions in life.
No.
Yeah. So you're like, yeah, I'll take that fourth one.
I was thinking about, though, doing a show. I don't know if it's insensitive, though. Is it insensitive to record these things?
The actual
like doing a show,
I
bring a different TSD Time member with me every, and they're my co-pilot because I need a co-pilot to rock. I don't know if it's like, if it's insensitive to, or if it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is.
Insensitive to who?
I don't know. Like, I guess
personal details.
Yeah, but like, what about the people I deal with? Like, they don't know what I'm. We could, recording.
You could always just blur their faces.
Blur the faces. Well, modulate their voices.
Record them. Why would they be on it at all?
Well, because
that's where some of the humorous fucking interactions come in, though. For a Patreon show.
Oh, but it's
right,
came.
But it's not. But it's not like you get back into the car and then like explain what just happened and in the moment, like you want to.
Oh, I think the humor is like when you get some characters.
Yeah. Since he's mic'd up, he would pick up what the person says, but you can modulate that voice, distort it.
It's on their private property.
Jersey's one party consent. As long as one party knows.
On their private property.
Well, I was gonna I don't know about that. My camera guy, I was like, get out of the car, and they go across the street. And they film it from across the street. And then you can hear like the interactions between me and my guest. And,
yeah, if it was
and,
like blurry kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled.
I would never use their name or anything.
Sure, but even showing their house on camera, I wouldn't be thrilled about that.
You could have a camera in the car on your co-pilot. As you go into the delivery, and then you just do the voiceover and just show them in the car, so that's how you can kind of get around that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, because I think it would be entertaining though, some of the things, and maybe somewhat interesting.
For sure,
I think we can make it work.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking about it though. I don't like Hugh says though. I don't know if like people would be happy though to see me come up, you know, and if they notice the cameraman across the street.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't record the house. You just record the car.
Somebody gave me those glasses that have a camera in them. And I just don't use them. If you want, I'll bring
them
in. You got it.
Please.
I'll bring them in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could do with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you like you go up to the
and
door.
I blur and I just modulize her voice then.
Yeah, I, you know, I'll give you the glasses. You do what you want with them. I'll bring them in. Okay. They just sit on my desk. I would love to use them. Yeah. All right. Cool.
You wouldn't like it if your DoorDasher like kind of recorded you a little bit.
Well, just because it's on my private property.
Right. Oh, sweetheart.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But
it's an area that's
almost like an easement because it's anywhere that like a postman can go or a census taker can go or.
You've been to my house. Somebody goes down my driveway recording. I'm not like, well, a census taker could do it.
What I'm saying is that's not considered like trespassing.
I don't know if
most
people. It's a moral issue, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
a gray area.
Most people have the same apprehension. I know why you don't want anybody filming.
Well,
because it's you're a celebrity. You don't want anybody to know what your house looks like.
Even on the TV show, like we wouldn't film someone's private house. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. You do public areas and public businesses and stuff where there's no expectation of privacy. When you are at someone's home, I think there's an expectation of privacy, whether lawful or not. That I think I would like to see respect. Okay. You know, but you could ask them.
I thought maybe even going into the store could be humorous.
That is to me. That's a business. That's a public. Yeah. That's like a public thing. That's different.
All right, I'll have to play. I have to develop it still.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that idea.
Did you finish Dungeon Crawler yet?
Oh, I finished it weeks ago. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Great book.
Got a bone to pick with you about that book.
Go on.
Oh.
You know, am I about to meet the first person I've met that doesn't like Dungeon Crawler, Carl?
You're about to meet. On your word.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck this. It sounds awesome. I'm buying all these books. I'm going for it. That's my summer. I'm just going to read the entire series. I got about a third of the way into book four, and I'm like, I don't want to do this to myself anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't do it to myself. It sucks.
How many books did you read?
The first three, and then like the first third of book four.
Is this book four the Tangle?
Third is the Tangle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I can't remember.
What didn't you like about it?
It's just too much dungeon. Like, reminds me too much of Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm not into it. And there's like all this stuff where they're like potions and magic and this and that, and I'm just like, it's not my thing. Like, as I'm reading it, I'm like, it's well written, and I can see why people like it, but it's not my thing.
You're also bailing at the point where it kind of morphs into something else.
See, I heard that I was being misled from a friend of mine.
Oh, go on. How are you being misled?
Well, this guy I know called – well, let's call him ex-Sarge.
Okay.
he told me that it's the – all that stuff lasts well into like book seven, all the Dungeons & Dragons shit.
I mean, in terms of like I took a healing potion and felt okay. I mean, sure, but like That doesn't seem like a big hurdle. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that I had just had too much already. Yeah. I'm like, it was too much.
All right, well, there you go.
And I saw the next four books, and they're like, they look like telephone books. They're so fucking thick.
You're disliking everything that I like about it. I guess it's just not for you. I love a nice, thick, like long book.
It's too nerdy.
Too nerdy, I think. That might be it. I'm not so much of a nerd as Q is. Q is like an undercover nerd. Well, not even that.
Not
undercover,
even undercover. Yeah,
people know.
I've never hidden it.
People know by now.
Wow, you are the – every single person, I'm like, and whatever. It's like, it's not for everybody, but everybody's been like, these fucking books are great. Thanks for.
I'm surprised it wasn't the Tangle because that was a little too much for me.
I think the Tangle is my favorite one. Okay. It's so funny. Like, I kind of am digging it. I'm listening to the third one on an audiobook now, and I love it.
Like, it was tough for me to picture in my head, like, all the different tracks and everything.
Yeah, but he said in the beginning, in the very beginning, he's like, don't pay attention to any of that. You'll know what you need to know when it's there.
Yeah.
It's so descriptive. Like, it's incredibly descriptive. Well, like I said, well written, but just not.
I thought it was a breezy, easy read.
Yeah.
So why'd you buy all the books before?
Because Q's never led me astray except for one other time.
Yeah.
Odd Couple 2.
Odd Couple Part 2. Yeah.
That's the only other
thing. But I made up for that with Deadwood.
Yeah. That's the only other time Q's ever like recommended something that I didn't like. It
took me
a long time.
It took me decades to live that one down. Yeah. All right. So, okay. So, yeah. Did you buy them hardcover?
Yeah, I bought them all hardcover.
Oh, so. Well, at least you can resell them.
Yeah, I returned them to Amazon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, fuck this shit.
There you go.
Yeah, I sent them back.
Oh, wow. All right.
But you know what I would never send back?
What?
Blue Chew?
No, Harry's Razor.
Oh, no, I can't do that. My dad just used the one that they sent me.
Oh, yeah?
He stayed at my house for a few days, and he used it. He was raving about it.
Before you showed up.
He took it home with him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Gonna have to get you another one.
I don't shave. All right, I
know. When I came in, Gidim was stroking my cheek, right, remarking on how baby soft it was.
Really?
Yeah, I use Harry's to shave my cheeks.
Yeah, it looks good. Does look baby
thank
soft.
Thank you. Thank you. Did my old razor dull too fast and irritate my chin, jawline, and neck? As a matter of fact, it did. I would, like, when I shaved, I would have these red marks right here, right on my, but it has that strip that helps. Razor burn, I used to think was an inevitable part of shaving, but now I know that I was wrong. Harry's isn't just some gimmick with a bunch of features you don't need. Has advanced pivoting system to reach every corner of your face, refined blade tech for a closer, smoother shave, and a weighted metal handle, Harry's heaviest handle yet, for added comfort and control. With Harry's Plus, you get a barbershop-quality shave with German-engineered blades. Each blade is honed at three different angles to cut hair evenly at the root without tugging. Blade spacing is optimized to glide smoothly and avoid clogging. Drugstore blades clog so fast. Right, get them?
Yes.
Every cartridge includes a lubricating strip with aloe and vitamin E to calm skin while you shave. See, that's what I need because I get those little red marks on my cheeks. I need that aloe. I need that vitamin E. Harry's owns their own world-class blade factory in Germany, so no outsourcing, no middlemen. And the same facility has been perfecting blade making for over 100 years. Because they control the entire process from steel to shelf, they keep their costs low. So why pay $30 for refills when Harry's gives you much better blades for a fraction of the cost? Harry's has not only launched their most advanced razor ever, it's still cheaper than the Gillette Fusion 5. So go compare prices and see if I'm wrong. If you don't love your shave, Harry's will make it right. No questions asked. Risk-free trial means there's zero upside to giving it a shot. Harry's Plus is Harry's heaviest razor handle ever, made from metal, never plastic, designed to comfortably fit in your hand. Heavier handle means more control and a luxe feel. And Harry's doesn't just make razors. They got a whole line of grooming essentials from shave gel to deodorant to body wash, all thoughtfully made and priced to stock up. So for a limited time, listeners can get the Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/TESD. This set includes an all-new Harry's razor, Harry's Plus razor, one refined five-blade cartridge, a two-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect the blades on the go. Just head to harrys.com/TESD to claim the offer. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them that. Tell them Steve Dave sent you.
Yeah, they say the Plus one's better for, like, you know, head shaving and the such.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're not doing the head shave anymore, huh? You're getting away from it?
Yeah, I got to get to it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just, it's a process.
I went to the beach the other day for like an hour with Mary Beth. My head, I got to wear a hat to the beach.
Yeah.
Now. Holy shit. My hair does not deflect the rays like it used to, man.
It was bacon.
Oh, yeah. Head was fucking red as hell.
Mm.
Let's see. What else I got here? I got, finished up Spider Noir. Did you finish it?
No, I'm on the third episode. I have it.
Okay.
You still got a little bit to go. It's been like 10-hour work fucking days this week. It's been like
great battle at the end, Walt.
You give it a thumbs up?
I give it a thumbs up.
You really enjoyed it, huh?
I liked it so much that it inspired me to go back and watch some like 40s noir stuff.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah.
Like what?
Like Double Indemnity, Maltese Falcon I watched.
Really?
Yeah.
Some Bogey.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Maltese Falcon holds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's great. It's really good.
Does it hold up?
I think so. I watched it last year. I was like, oh, this is a fun
play watch. It again, Sam.
Dirt. Well, that's Casablanca. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Bogey, you're right.
It's all the same. It's all the same shit. It's just like, it's like who's on first. Abbott and Costello did it in every movie. I thought in every Bogey movie he says, play it again, Sam.
It deals with like a lot of annoying assholes in Maltese Falcon. Like everybody's under his skin all the time. I love it. That's fucking freaky, like, okay.
Oh, that, like, Peter Lorre character,
I love it. I love it.
When did Bogey die?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Get him on it.
He's already tip-tapping away.
What mate was those the two movies that turned him into an icon? Casablanca
was
and
the one that
Maltese
fell in
Falcon.
Love with. What's her name? Was that – that was one that – well, wait. What was the boat one? The boat one was the first one I ever saw him in.
African Queen.
That was the first one I saw him in.
1957.
He died at 57.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he's a lot of. I Googled like his movies. He's in a lot.
He's in a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Lauren Bacall. What made him so captivating?
I mean,
only 57. He fucking, look how old he looks when he died. He looks like 100 compared to us, I thought.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I always look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't look like I'm 58, right? Like I'm trying to like convince myself.
It was so fucking sobering the other day. So my grandkid was down and I was like, let's go to Kingsburg. He's still too young. Now. I knew, like, they were like, he's too young. He can't go on any of the rides, you know. But I convinced everybody to go. When we got there, like, it was like kind of like a – that realization. I was just like – I was telling, you know, telling Alicia as we were walking around and everything that I was like, my grandfather brought me here. And I remember it because she was like – it looks like it's on its last legs.
Oh, yeah. We go there to the arcade all the time.
And I said I always think to myself, this has got to be the last summer for it because there's – they could put condos here. Anything would do better than this, I think. But it seems to survive.
Somehow.
And I told her, like, I used to be so excited to come here, and it felt like it was like Disneyland when my grandfather took me here. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, holy shit.
It's a slum.
No, I like that. Like, now I have a grandkid, and I brought him here. I just remember my grandfather looking like –
like Methuselah?
Yes. Yeah. Like fucking W.C. Fields. Like an ancient W.C. Fields. Yeah, my little chickadee. Here's a dollar. And that dollar's like lasted me all day in Kingsburg in 1974.
Here you go, sweetheart.
Yeah. And I was like, I cannot believe, like, I have a grandkid and I brought him here to Kingsburg. It was so like jarring and kind of like maybe stopped. Like time stood still for like a millisecond. I was like, that just is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a grandkid and I brought him here. And Alicia kept going like, you don't look like your grandfather. She's going, chill out. She's going, I'm like, I was like, it's over.
I have to agree with you.
It's over. So I'm going to be dead soon.
His pants.
I was like, you can, like, I want you, don't throw away the comics. Don't throw away the hardcovers. Just make sure, promise me you try to maximize all the value out of them. Just don't believe anybody who tells you they're worthless. I'm going.
He's pulling his pants up to under his nipples.
Yeah. Wait, get me a blanket. I'm cold. It's 99 degrees out.
Where's my members only jacket?
Take my last dash, Alicia. I can't do it.
Dude, we've been on TV so long that when people some people come up to me, I see them being like, whoa. Like, I see them look at the wrinkles around my eyes and my gray hair. Like, I see their eyes dart around being like, oh, fuck, this motherfucker's getting old. I see it. It's unfortunate.
When I was in the hospital recovering, they had I was watching IJ, yeah, and it was season one.
Oh, we looked like babies. And I was 36. Yeah. We looked like babies, I know.
Shit, said 37.
I know. That would have been better.
I think I was 35. It might have been 34. Yeah, I don't remember anymore.
It's weird to think he was born in 1899.
It is fucked up.
Like,
man.
Yeah.
But bless her heart, though, she was just definitely trying to talk me off the ledge, being like, you don't look like a grandpa. It's like, I do.
We got to get out of here. Kingsburg's reminding me of it. Yeah, it does. Like, I can only imagine that it's a rich guy that owns it and, like, owns the actual boardwalk, and they just, like, lose money for tax purposes.
I don't get it.
Well, the city doesn't own the boardwalk.
It's mobbed up or something.
I don't know. It's not even a boardwalk. It's just asphalt.
Yeah, it's just asphalt, like, in place of a boardwalk. Okay. And there's, like, there's rides, but the rides are like, ooh.
It has
long. I don't know about that.
Like, out-survived.
It shouldn't still be
decades
there.
More than I would have ever imagined that it could. But it was actually busy after the late evening we went. We went on a Sunday night, and it was
– that's what I mean. I think
it was a bit of a crowd. Not a crowd. Crowd's the wrong word. It was way more people there than I thought there would be.
But
there.
Isn't what you're describing part of the charm of it?
It is. But that's why I don't know –
it's not packed.
I don't know if I don't know if the rest of the world recognizes the charm, though.
Sure.
And that charm may not be so charming to the guy who owns it when he looks at his finances at, you know. Yeah. Sees how much he's bleeding keeping that fucking that asphalt boardwalk open.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's like it's a seasonal business.
Yeah.
They probably only need two or three good months to.
And it is so weird. I actually had to go there like on a Tuesday the following, like just this, what's it? Yesterday's Wednesday? I don't know. But I had to, somebody fucking ordered a DoorDash. Off the fucking one of the
– off the boardwalk?
Off the boardwalk.
Really?
So I had to go to like one of those I don't know. What do they call it? Like the boardwalk stands where they sell pizza or hamburger. Mm-hmm. Somebody ordered food off of that, which I found so strange.
That is weird. Like, you really have to love that food.
Yeah.
Boardwalk food?
Yeah. And there was nobody there. Nah. Like the person running the stand was the only person – in a 3-mile radius. It was like – it looked like fucking – what's that zombie movie, 28 Days Later?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, their music is playing and there's just nobody around.
Yeah, we rarely venture beyond the arcade. Like, Sage likes to go there to the arcade, so we'll go to Texas Roadhouse and then hit the arcade.
It
look amazing.
It doesn't look very bright and, like, it looks awesome. But when you get there, it's just something is – something just makes you go like, whoa.
Oh, you used to like the big parks, you know what I mean? This guy can kind of see how this would be a letdown, but to me, this looks beautiful.
It is. There's a charm to it. I'm not denying it.
Is the fishing pier part of it, or?
What does that mean?
The fishing pier. Is that part of the amusement park, or no?
Kids love to go on the fish ride all the time.
Well, no. Hang out with 50, 60-year-old fishermen. You just wanted a roller coaster.
How many tickets?
I'm just wondering if it's part of the same complex, like the owner owns it.
I have a bracelet, sir. Can I get in?
More chum, please.
I think Taylor Swift's here today.
Yeah, the addition of the water park, I think, was huge to this place. Like, it seems like way more people go to the water park than go to the amusement park.
We used to have to go there, Q, as employees with the community center. We'd bring the kids from the community center to this water park.
Okay.
And one of the days we were there, there'd be other other camps that would come to from all over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from all over Jersey, you know. And one of the camps that was there, one of the kids he went home and this is the first time I ever heard of this. He dry drowned.
Oh, yeah.
Not in our camp.
I remember
but
that.
Like,
what does
but
that
like,
mean?
It broke the news like the next day in the, like, in the newspaper.
I never heard of this before.
Yeah, this is fucked up. I woke up to that one of the kids at that installation where we're all having fun. He went home. He fell asleep on the bus. He got home and he told his parents that he didn't feel good. He was tired. And he went to sleep and he never woke up, and they called it a dry drowning. He had too much water in his lungs and he didn't know it.
Yeah, it says dry drowning is an outdated and non-medical term. It's defined as a laryngospasm, where the airway temporarily closes after water hits the throat, or acute pulmonary edema caused by inhaling small amounts of water. So I guess like a little bit of water at a time, a little bit of water at a time. Yeah.
Oh, like that. I got a pool.
Well, just don't swallow all the water.
I don't think you're intending to. Like, what if you?
Well, you swim around with your mouth open.
No, but you're in the pool talking and shit like that. What if somebody splashes and you get water?
Well, I think it's like over hours.
I think it has to be a substantial amount of water.
Oh, so this is like a survival of the fittest thing? Like this kid's an idiot type thing?
I don't want to be so cruel to the dead.
It's been 40 years. I think you can.
I don't mean that insensitive. All right, but that's what you mean.
Okay, got it. All right.
But I think he probably was just like
Darwinism at its finest. Okay, gotcha.
He was old too. He was like 12 or 13. You know, and he had just like,
I can't help but notice that the earth just kept turning.
Mm-hmm. But
we didn't lose out on anything. Another idiot dead. Is that what you're saying, Walt?
No, not at all. I think those are your words. But to me,
just picking up on what you were saying.
It is such a tragedy because you send your kid to have a fun day at this water park. He comes home and then he doesn't wake up because he drank because too much water it's got
fucking night. Sounds like a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. Yeah. It was just like. The whole time I was thinking, like, what I was reading, I still remember how it affected me. I was like, thank God it wasn't one of our kids.
Right.
Yeah. It would have been
the
fucking –
the paperwork alone. I hear what you're saying, Walt.
Are you
– I'm just picking up what you're putting down.
Your heart is fucking stone.
He's saying the quiet part out loud.
I'm just picking up on your vibe, if I'm wrong.
No, it was just like the trauma. Is it like,
just saying what Walt's thinking, I guess. Yeah.
To know one of the – like if I had known the kid, like that would be very difficult because there was nothing I could do. You would think he was fine. He gets on the bus.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes,
he gets on the bus.
Fine,
He's fine. He gets off the bus. He goes home. You don't think that like that kid's going to drown.
No.
Right. You're just like, well, he didn't drown. He made it. He's back from the water.
I did my job. Like, I brought your kid home alive.
Right.
But that's not the case. Sometimes they, you know, but this is I wonder how many dry drownings there are per year. Can you look that up?
Sure.
That sucks.
I imagine you were a kid. Get them that probably hit were like you were like a prime victim of a dry drowning with the way you've I just see you walking around your mouth open
like skimming the seawater for krill.
I don't know why. I just picture you as a kid, like with your mouth perpetually open wide, as wide as possible.
Because he won't shut the fuck up, or just because he's walking around with his mouth open?
Both.
Yeah. Here comes the mouth breather.
He's got a good dry swimmer, I'll have you know.
Hey, I'm sure that kid could swim too. But do you swim with your mouth wide open? That's probably what I bet you do.
No.
I bet you fucking do.
Are you a good swimmer or do you look like you're drowning?
No, I'm a very good swimmer. I almost was a lifeguard.
Oh, I almost was a lifeguard.
I was almost a pilot.
You look at his face.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. We cracked him. We got him.
I took the course, but the final.
But they only failed you because you couldn't shut your fucking mouth.
No. Nope.
You're like, can you just keep your mouth closed? I can't.
Constantly pumping his legs.
I wasn't available for the final test.
Oh, no.
No.
Why? What were you doing?
I went to summer camp. So.
We got him on the ropes. It's hard to get him on the ropes.
He's been very sensitive lately.
Oh, yeah.
I pressed this button too easy. The other day, we got into an argument. This is when you know you're spending too much time together. As I told him that, and he got so offended. I was like, you don't know the definition of homoerotica.
What?
He was so adorable. Tell he says, so the night before, he sends me this text. And don't send
you don't know, homo.
And don't send shit like this to me, because my daughter or my wife always has my phone because we're door dashing.
Okay.
So don't send a text like, I just saw the most homoerotic fucking video. Like, if my wife or daughter saw that, what are they going to think? Dude, my friends.
You said that. I just watched Ghost Story. I was going to take a little clip of the little wiener.
Yeah, no, don't send me sent it. And then
I remembered. Yeah,
thank you. But anyway, so he sends me this text. I just saw the most homoerotic
commercial.
Yeah. And I click on it, and it's an old Michael Jordan Haynes commercial.
Okay.
Where he's in the locker room, and a bunch of guys are watching him, what kind of underwear he wears. And they're like, well, I want to be like Mike. And so then next week, it shows like he comes back to the gym, and now they're all wearing the underwear he wore, but now he's changed the color of his underwear. So they're always trying to keep up.
Okay.
And I told when I got, and I didn't even respond to it, because I'm like, first off, I'm like, it's not worthy of responding to this kind of text. I don't care about this. Why is he sending me this? But then the next day he goes, what about that commercial I sent you? And I said, yeah, you really don't know the definition of homoerotic, I said. And oh my God, he fucking went off.
Really?
And he goes, I do too.
I'm an expert. Oh, here it is. Yeah, that was the whole thing. They want to be like Mike.
There's nothing homoerotic about this.
Okay.
There's not.
They're...
I just think the fixation on Mike.
It was about
– and then he leaves and he's like, well, at least they're wearing Hanes.
There was nobody in the 90s who wanted to have sex with Michael. Like, dude, they just wanted to be like Mike because he was a badass on the basketball court, not because they are fucking sexually attracted to him.
If only you take those underwear off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to fucking learn what real homoerotica is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You better learn quick, otherwise you're going to be a victim of it. That's funny. That's fucking funny.
That's great.
Yeah, he was all fucking little bent out of shape, though.
He's not used to that.
I questioned his knowledge on it, on the subject.
Homoeroticism.
On anything. That sure upsets him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Teddy.
Teddy.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching Taxi lately, Walt.
Oh, my God.
You watch it?
Yeah.
It's fucking great. It's so
wonderful
good.
Show, man. Yeah.
I remembered Latka, and I was like, I wonder how I'll respond to this character, like, not being a kid and watching it, you know? I love it.
He's great, right?
He's so great. His facial expressions are the best.
I got to admit, and I understand why, but when Reverend Jim replaced Latka as the quirky character.
Right.
Show elevated to a new level. I think Jim is a better, more lovable character. Locke, have you gotten to the point where Locke has all the fucking personality changes and he's?
Oh no, not yet. Not yet. Okay. We're probably on like episode like seven.
There's
or something.
Only like four seasons for a show that five is seasons, so yeah. iconic. It, like it didn't last that very long, but there was one episode that just it makes me it just touches my heart. Jim was sent – maybe you haven't gotten to it yet, but it's one of the greatest episodes in television history for me personally is Jim is anonymously sending poems to Elaine to help her self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And she really picks up her spirits and she wants to know who's sending these anonymous poems. And she starts dating this dope who – like this like meathead who says like, yeah, I'm the guy that's sending him just to get in her pants.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex finds out and he says, Jim, you got to tell her that, you know, she thinks that, you know, she may marry this guy or, you know, maybe, you know, and it's all on a lie. So he tells her it's her and she's so upset. And she says, I'm such a fool. Thank you for making me believe that, there were still princes and that, I was going to have a castle one day at the end of the, you know, I would one day live with a prince and live in a castle.
Mm.
And she storms off, and then later on, he breaks into her apartment, Jim.
Jim does.
And he welds her out of, like, this metal, a giant in her living room, a castle. And she comes back, and she's very touched, and he says that she goes, you're such a sweet man. And he goes, well, I could stay. He says, I could stay. Mm-hmm. You know, and she says, she basically turns him down. She's like, you're such a sweet human being. You're the kindest person, you know, but
you're a Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah. And she sends him on his way. And he says, before he exits, he goes, there was a time that used to be enough. And she still closes the door. He goes out, and there's this melancholy piano, and you see him walk down the stairs. He gets to the fucking the curb. The entire part of his van is missing because he ripped off the roof to build to the fucking the castle.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and he gets into the van. He drives off with a roofless van.
That's it?
It was fucking heartbreaking, but so fucking poignant. It was one of the best fucking things I've ever seen on television, though, when you get to it.
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal episode. Cool. Yeah, I love Reverend Jim.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's been in one episode so far. He came into Mary fucking, Latka. Some
can you imagine that, like, electrifying the audience so much that you're bringing this fucking character, this throwaway character becomes a fucking regular cast member? Yeah. And Latka had to be like, fucking, this is my gig. Yeah. I'm the quirky guy. What am I if I'm not that guy?
Right. Yeah, you got nothing.
Thank you very much. That's it. I really did not like Latka. It was tough to warm up to him.
Yeah, I find that when he's doing his gibberish, it's not as funny as when his facial expressions though are priceless. Like when he's mad at somebody, he got mad at Alex. He was going to this dinner party, and they were trying to teach him like very basic, like please pass the salt. And when they get to the dinner party, Alex goes, "Hey, can you please pass the salt?" And he's like, "That's my line." Yes. And he fucking gives him a death stare. Holy shit!
Yeah,
it's funny.
It was so good.
It's funny.
And did you know that Bobby he had to leave the show? He has to leave the show because he becomes a star in Hollywood his character.
Oh, really?
You know why he had to go?
No, was it drugs?
Coke.
Yeah, I imagine because they
just couldn't deal with him anymore, so they wrote him off.
How much coke do you got to be doing?
It's 1970.
To get off 78. That's what I'm saying.
You know how much coke was flowing in New York?
I mean, it had to California be everywhere. It's like, you got to be really over the line to get 70s to like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Happened to Julie on the Love Boat.
Yeah. I mean, Hollywood, I guess it was just like fucking, it was like water. It was everywhere.
I mean, that's when Hollywood was fun. Like to get thrown out of the party at that point is crazy.
Yeah, but they had to write him off because he just couldn't stay off drugs. I mean,
the only other thing he ever started was Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah, that was decades later. Yeah. It was
Babylon
sad.
5.
What's that?
Babylon 5.
Yeah, he was, in,
he
that
in that
too.
Yeah.
Jeff Conway?
Jeff Conway, yeah.
Yeah. You know how
so if you're a healthy dose of 70s TV.
he probably thought he was fucking untouchable. Mm-hmm. He's Bobby Wheeler. He looks the way he looks. He's on a fucking primetime sitcom show and there's only four channels. He's banging probably everything and then he fucking gets to – his agent's got to be like
– You're off.
You're off.
Oh, God. Sage was probably high on coke when he told him the news.
Yeah. He died real young too, right?
Yeah, pretty young. Yeah, I think it is early 60s, I thought. Oh.
60 years.
60 years old?
60, yeah.
Terrible. He was good too. He's a great actor, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's really good in the show. Yeah. Grease. I forgot he was in Grease.
Is that Ronna Newton-John? Is that Olivia's?
And doesn't Tony you watch Friends?
No, I've never seen Friends. No.
See, Tony Danza reminds me so much of Joey from Friends.
Oh, I know who the character, yeah.
What's his name, Blanc?
Oh, Tony Matt LeBlanc. Banta? Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah. I mean, Matt LeBlanc really should fucking – he had to study fucking Tony Danza. The school of acting. I mean, basically, it's the same character.
Like the dopey, like Goomba type character. Yeah.
Can you say that?
I think so. He's half Italian. Right. Yeah,
you can say Goomba. Italians, still open season. Them and the Irish, you still get the knocks, and they know how to take a joke. So most of them,
we're
anyway.
Tough.
Yeah, they don't care what you say about them.
Well, I'm Irish. I can, can say whatever you
my
want.
My mom was born in Italy. I can say whatever I want about these greasy Italians. I'm one of them. They're my people.
There in this house, Christopher Columbus is a hero.
Sage graduates next week.
How was the prom?
Prom was good. Yeah, she really liked the prom. We got her to her limo. She took the limo there. We basically arrived ahead of the limo. Took some pictures there at the prom, and then we left. And I gave my number to her attendant. And I was like, hey, if she wants to leave early like last year, just give me a call. Because she gets like over – because the music's so fucking loud. She gets overwhelmed by it and she really needs like hearing – like those headphones and stuff to blanket out. So I get the call and they're like, yeah, can you come get her? And this is at like 9. So I get there at 9:20 and people are just – there's cops there. People are pouring out of the fucking prom. Yeah, pouring out.
Why are there cops there?
I guess like just to like manage the traffic because there were a lot of – there was like probably 1,000 people at this prom. It was huge.
Wow.
It was huge. There were so many people. And – So we show up and I'm like, oh, fucking great. The place is on fire. I don't see Sage anywhere.
The place
looking
is on
around.
Fire.
No, this is what I'm thinking. I'm looking around and I find one of the ladies and I was like, what is going on? Why is everybody like, cause when they leave, they're not just like walking out of the prom and like laughing and shit. They're running. They're running to their cars. They're running to their party buses, all this other shit. And I asked a lady, I was like, what is going on? And she was like, oh, the prom ended. And I was like, what do you mean?
Really running?
I'm not supposed to end until 10 o'clock. And she was like, yeah, but they crowned the king and queen. So nobody wanted to stay. And I was like, well, why are they running out? And she's like, I don't know. They're probably excited. Like she's like, totally stone-faced and like fine with it. And I'm like panicking, like, where is Sage? Is she burned up already?
You know? That's like a great white.
Were there fire trucks here?
No, just the cops. Just the cops.
That is weird to make the leap from like, the place is on fire.
Well, when you saw the people pouring out of it, I was like, what other reason could there be?
Shooting or something?
Yeah, shooting something wacky. Yeah, but no, it was fine. Prom went well. She loved it. Nice. But now she graduates, not this week, but next Thursday. 17 years of schooling wrapping up. I took her to her first day of preschool, wow. And I'll be taking her to her last day of high school.
Wow.
There she is. Showing her leg. Oh, I should have beaten her after that on her Instagram.
What's the plan post graduation?
She's taking the summer off.
Mm-hmm.
And finding herself.
What's that?
Going to find herself?
Yeah, she's going to go on a walkabout.
Be careful, though. Kim took his summer off after, and look, he never went back.
That's true, yeah. Well, she's so,
you're still trying to find yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's still on a walkabout, basically. Yeah. She wants to take the summer off and swim and hang out and stuff. And then when September comes around, she's in something called transition where she like works half a day and they try to find her like a little job to do.
So okay.
She'll be doing that for like a year. And then after that, it's just like she has to go to work or something. She has to find something to do. So she wants to work. She wants to work with her brother at the veterinarian's office, which I guess is possible. You know, I'm not sure if they give her something to do, like, you know, feed the animals.
Sure.
I always tell her she has to clean up the dog shit. And she's like, no, I don't want to.
Somebody's got it, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Starting out low man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
If I volunteered at a place, you know, like an animal shelter or something, that's what I would be doing. I would go in on the ground level.
Mm.
Regardless, I'd be like, hey, man, you know how many dogs I've owned? They're like, we don't give a fuck.
Get scooping,
pick up
boy.
That shit. Yeah. Yeah, so graduation. Cool. I can't believe it's coming.
I know.
Out.
It's nuts. I remember when your sister was pregnant with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. All goes by.
Yeah, I remember the first day that the day she was born, I went in and saw my sister. And I was like, wow, look at this little, it looks like a little plucked chicken. This thing. And they were still
insisting. There's no way I'll be responsible for this for the rest of
my life. No, no way. That was not my thought. I remember my sister and my mother being like, well, maybe she doesn't have Down syndrome. Like they're looking at her and I'm like, are you out of your fucking minds? Like they did a test. Like they know she has it. And you could just take a look at her and be like, no, she has it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, maybe it's not that bad. And they were right. It's not that bad. You know,
no.
She's able to communicate. She's able to do everything that other kids do, you know, so.
Yeah.
And by kids, I mean 20-year-old adults.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, she gets all offended if I call her a kid, but.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, Dad, I'm an adult.
Oh.
Like, by fact that you're calling me Dada. You know? So.
Wow. I saw, I mean, I don't want to make another recommendation that's going to get me some blowback, but I saw that.
It's not bad. Once every 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I saw the He-Man movie.
Oh, did you?
Oh, I wanted to see that.
So much fucking fun. I have notes. It leans into comedy maybe 20% too. I would have liked them dial it back a little bit. But, man, what a fun fucking movie. Like beginning to end, just a blast.
I'm not that knowledgeable at He-Man, but the trailer sparked my interest. It looked very creative, very like it looks like there were some cool – effects and
the cool
it just
effects.
Good.
The effects are a little. They have that thing going where it's like a little video gamey. You know what I mean? Because everything. But it's a. If you're just like, oh yeah, I'm watching a movie about toys, then you're like, oh okay, I don't care. And it's, but it is fun, man. And Idris Elba as Man-at-Arms is he's awesome. And Skeletor is. I don't know why it's not doing well in the box
it's
office.
It's not doing well, right?
I saw
that it was underperforming. Correct?
Yeah,
is this correct.
It's underperforming.
Why do you think?
I just think it's maybe it's a tough property. You know, like people don't really care.
Why don't you just call it He-Man? Why do they have to call it Masters of the Universe?
I don't know. Everybody I know is calling it He-Man. I want to see He-Man.
Yeah, and why not just call it He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
I don't know.
Do you think, like, how long did He-Man go? Like, only the 80s, right? So you're really depending on the nostalgic audience.
He never went away. There was always a series. Oh,
well, I know Kevin did something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin did like three series of it. Mm-hmm. But the soundtrack, I think you'll love – it's all that fucking heavy metal, like
really?
Movie heavy metal. Like Brian May does guitars in it and stuff, so there's always like rocking and jamming and stuff. It's like real sword and sorcery stuff.
Should I – I really think I should make an attempt to see it because I imagine it won't be in theaters long.
I would go see it. I saw it in IMAX, and I'm telling you, I had a blast. It was just so much fun. There are times where you're like, all right, I don't need a joke there. I didn't need a joke there. They do that thing where they undercut themselves like – most movies do it like once or twice where it's just like, we're going to do it. And then the car stalls out and they're like, we've got to get gas. So like some stupid like that. They do it like for some reason like five times. And I'm like, guys, like we're allowed to have a heroic moment without undercutting it. But it's a blessing. And Skeletor, dude, is a real son of a bitch. He's a real villain.
It's like, saying here, it's Jared Leto, huh?
Yeah.
Jared Leto does the voice.
Oh, he does the voice. So,
boy, that guy.
I'm surprised he got just, anything.
I mean, at this point, yeah, it seems like everything he is in underperforms.
I'm also like, look, the way he performs Skeletor is fucking awesome, but you're like, I don't know why they got him. Like, you don't see him, and his voice doesn't sound like him. But the choices he made with the character are so good that you're like, I mean, it's not his fault that it's not doing well. Like, he did a great job as Skeletor. And they made him a real villain. Like, he's a fucking bastard.
They say Leto's a good secondary character.
He needs to stop being in these – these like
these not tentpoles.
These movies about these what do they call those property movies? Like he was in Morbius, tanked.
IP, yeah,
the IP. He was in a Tron, tanked, and now he's in He-Man in a tank. I'm not saying it's his fault, but boy,
this is definitely not his fault. You don't even know
the
it's
bad
him.
Luck charm. It feels like,
yeah, it's great though.
I did want to see it, and which is weird because I have no interest in He-Man. I couldn't tell you anything about
it. You don't have to know anything about it.
Yeah.
There's this one character called Mechaneck who's like the figure was literally like his head just came out like a giraffe's metal giraffe stalk, and he used his head as his weapon. And you're like, this is so stupid. And then when they use it in the movie, you're like, ah, oh, that's pretty cool. Like how they did it. Like, oh, they made Mechaneck work.
Now were you?
Yeah, there he is.
Were you a kid who enjoyed the show, or is it a bit before your time?
No. Hey, I was right there. I had He-Man figures. I had Castle Grayskull. I had all the toys and stuff. I was always more into Transformers than He-Man, but I was pretty deep into He-Man. It's fun. It's really fun.
Do you think the era of the blockbuster is over? Like,
over until there's a blockbuster again.
Do you think we'll ever see a blockbuster?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Avengers.
Well, what's
Doomsday?
Your definition? These are Avatar movies, which I still haven't even seen. Every time they come out, they clean up.
I mean, when I say yes, I think those Avatar movies were reported to have done boffo business, but I don't think they've made of like that kind of cultural footprint impact.
You don't hear people talking about
nobody
them.
Nobody really ever mentions never them.
You're right about
you
that.
Never see – you don't see merch everywhere. Like,
no.
You don't see that kind of like the projectile vomit like of Star Wars or MCU where you're seeing it everywhere in toy stores, in fast food places, in just where you couldn't escape certain movies that made like – big impacts.
I think you'll see that again. I think the problem is that all our fucking stable horses that we all expected to be blockbusters were just taken over by assholes.
Has it aged out though? Like
no, I just think they just don't know how to make them anymore. And
I've heard 20-something-year-olds do not give a fuck about He-Man or MCU or Star Wars. They
do they care about? I don't know. I don't think it's over.
I think like 1 minute videos.
Yeah. TikTok shit.
Yeah. I don't know. But that won't look, nothing lasts, right? So that's going to go away eventually, too. We're just in a bad period. You know, we're just in a shitty pop culture period.
You have an interest in Disclosure Day?
I am.
Yeah.
Spielberg?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just heard something that, again, just made me fucking just like sit there for a second and be like, holy shit. So you remember Spielberg's War of the Worlds movie?
Right.
I just read something because of this new Alien movie's coming out that the ending, where people were, remember when Tom Cruise gets to Boston and he walks up to this, like this,
the brownstone.
Yeah, yeah. And his scene is his in-laws and the kid.
Yeah.
Because that was a fake ending. That's what the little girl, his daughter, she's in the, she's in a cage with the aliens and they show a close up of her eye.
Right.
That is her. Spielberg says that was her imagining that before she died at the aliens' hands.
I totally believe that because when I watched that movie and I'm like, how the fuck did this kid get back to Boston after like all the – like with that fire and shit that was like when he was trying to climb that hill.
With the army. Yeah,
yeah, and
that
all the fire
happy
just
ending
like,
is her imagination as she's about to die.
Wow. Spielberg said that?
Spielberg said this. And makes me want to go back and rewatch it because I love that movie.
Yeah.
And to me, that is like, why are you waiting fucking 20 years to say that? And why didn't you try to make it a little bit more clear? Because that's so dark.
Right.
That it is jaw dropping that like, wow, that was her like way of dealing with dying. She just kind of went into her head and you're seeing her kind of come up with this happy ending before she dies.
Yeah. But there's no clues to that.
I saw this online. I don't know if Spielberg said this.
It
may have just
been
somebody.
Crappy if there's no clues to that you could pick up on, and he's just like, "Yep, that's what that was." Like, that sounds like kind of hacky to me.
Do you think maybe it was like, yeah, that's what I meant. Like somebody suggested to him, like, "Steven, was this an imagine?" Yes, it was.
Sure, why not? Like, it's got us talking about War of the Worlds again.
Yeah, but this is all an imaginative.
Dakota Fanning.
Yeah,
which
that's
to me
crazy.
Makes me go like. That's pretty cool.
So when did she die then?
She dies. Apparently there's a shot of her and there's a close-up of her eye inside when she's captured by the aliens. Okay. Remember they're in a cage?
Yeah.
They get scooped up.
Yeah, I remember that. That's when she dies?
That's when she's just about ready to die.
I'll tell you what makes sense that is if you look at everybody that they're seeing in this Boston house – they're all amazingly well put together. Their hair's right. Their clothes are right. They don't look like they just survived an alien invasion.
Even the sunlight makes it look
nice. Yeah. I kind of see it now.
He said that it was based on another movie that he saw that impressed him. There's another movie that did this. It's something – I wish I had saved the tweet I was reading because it blew my mind because I was just like, that is such a cool ending. But I really wish you kind of – spelled it out a little bit more for the dumbasses like me in the movie theater who are like,
and me.
This is kind of corny. Like,
I know, I believe
this super happy
20
ending.
Years now. I didn't look any deeper into
it. Is the son he's hugging here all dirty and stuff too right now?
Yeah, he's got a ripped jacket.
The son is wearing the same exact clothes that he wore.
That's what I'm saying.
When he
right.
runs off into like the firewall.
Right.
Remember it when he leaves?
Yeah. So the first thing he would do if he was really at his grandparents' house would be change and wash his face, especially his grandfather looks like he's going to a board meeting. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of digging this theory.
Yeah, it really just like made me go, holy fuck. Like it's cool to discover a new spin on something this many years later.
That's cool.
If that's the case, though.
I love how much blood they put in this movie.
Yeah, this was a really I really love this movie.
I watched them film part of it. On Staten Island on the expressway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see any stars. They just had like the cameras set up and all the cars. Like it's in that traffic scene where he gets out of the car and runs. That was filmed on Staten Island.
Yeah. It was part filmed in Howell.
Yeah.
But I love that moment too, where the kid leaves and like the father is like, just gives up. He's like, he can't protect him. And he's just like, I got to protect the kid. Like if you're going to fucking be an idiot and run off.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. He just has to make that choice to be like, I got to get the little kid and get out of here. I can't fucking wrangle
you. Can't deal
you.
With this guy.
This fucking kid was so annoying throughout the whole movie. It's like, you know, fucking try to help out a little bit.
Yeah, like it's an extreme situation.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to clear the dishes from the table.
You can't be a fucking emo kid when the fucking Martians are fucking scooping people up.
Yeah, I know.
You got to fucking them, like, buck up a little.
Leading them.
Jesus. Yeah, I want to see it too, Disclosure Day.
Yeah. I heard it's not heavy on action, though. I heard it's a lot of – you're going to have to go through a lot of talking head stuff.
I didn't see his last movie, Fablemans, and I didn't love Ready Player One. I need to fall in love with Spielberg again. Like, I want him to, like.
I saw Ready Player One.
The DeLorean was cool driving around.
Yeah, that felt like it was something that would hit all your marks.
I didn't like
marks.
The book. I read the book. I was like, this book is dumb. And then I liked – anytime there was something on the screen that I recognized, I was like, oh, I get it. I like that. But the story and shit, I was just like, I don't care.
That's a movie I thought would have done better too. It didn't really set the world on fire.
I just don't think it's a very good movie.
I just thought the fan service of seeing all those properties
intermingling. That's what got me to see it.
That to me is so cool and so unique.
Yeah. He took the T-Rex out of that movie. He said there were too many Spielberg references in his own movie. So they took the T-Rex out. They took a few things out, which is cool.
It was only pop culture shit, not necessarily his movie stuff.
It was the Back to the Future car. It was King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong. Right. Iron Giant was in it. It was like a giant mixture of pop culture properties, which is fun. But at the end of the day, it just didn't
work.
I just didn't care about the story.
That's it?
I think that might be it. Yeah, that's all I had. Well, I was going to ask you something else, but I don't know. I guess I can ask you. So Teddy's scratching, right?
Teddy's just scratching.
Right. He's just scratching this one spot. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to bring him to the vet because he won't stop scratching this one spot. You get him there. They give him a little shave. Suddenly their eyes widen and they're like, sir, can you explain this? And you see that Teddy has a swastika tattoo on him, put there by the previous owner, I'm assuming. How do you explain that away?
That would be tough. That would be like, I would hope my reaction to it would seem legitimate.
Just as
aghast
as they are. Yeah.
Oh, man, do they take them off the scratch games?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
That's a scandal.
Who is worse, the tattoo artist or the person who gets the
– requested the tattoo?
Yeah.
I would think they'd be the same person. You don't think it'd be like some dude just being like,
this dog's a Nazi. Evil. Nazi dog.
White power, Teddy. He's the cutest little white supremacist I've ever seen.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, today's my anniversary.
Hey,
is it today? Yeah. And look at you coming in to do Tell Him Steve Dave.
My wife is working, so I can go to work too then.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Any plans?
We're going to AC tomorrow, and we're going to see Devo play at the
Home. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I'm
a Devo fan. Borgata.
Borgata? Oh, okay.
Nice.
You staying at the Borgata?
No, we're not going to stay overnight.
Oh, you're going to come back?
No. Yeah, so we'll go up, gamble, have dinner in AC, see Devo, and come home then.
Nice.
Yeah.
Devo.
She has no.
No interest?
Interest in Devo. She goes, really? I don't know one song. I was like,
oh, sure,
whip
she
it,
does.
I said. Oh, yeah. What's another song? And I named like four songs. She's like, I never heard those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
How could she not hear Canary in a Coal Mine a million times on MTV?
And working in a coal mine.
Working in a coal mine. Yeah, working in a coal mine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. How could she not hear it?
Yeah, those are heavily rotated.
I could see it. Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised.
It's not memorable.
Yeah, when she leaves the performance and it was like,
why'd you do this to me?
Why didn't they just sing Devo 15 times in a row? That would have been better than
Devo. Yep, so that's about it. Well, congratulations. But what is this, 32 years?
94.
32 years.
32 years, yeah.
Damn, man.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy to think you could hit 50.
I would hope so.
That's a lot of years, yeah. Man. Like, you're one of those couples. Like, I'll never hit it.
No, probably not. Just because
Mary Beth might hit it when she's married to another guy.
Tell him, Steve Dave.